The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to hour two. A few minutes left with our friend Mike Thompson. So, Mike, you really have been a source for me and Suzanne, my wife, of hope, because you have said things over the months that seem to us clearly to be from God. You're not making it up. Once somebody gets to know you, I think they can see that you're not somebody who would do that, that you're seasoned. And you have seen hope for this country and for a reversal of fortunes, so to speak. So is there a timeline, a vague timeline that you have, a sense of when things are happening? Yom Kippur? I mean, I don't know. I can't remember if you ever did that or shared anything about timing.
No, unless the Lord speaks to me a date, I don't assume any kind of and project any kind of dates, because I've learned over the years that when the Lord speaks to me, that sometimes it occurs in 24 hours, sometimes it's a week, a month, a year. There are some things that I have waited for. My wife and I waited for one specific thing for about 35 years, and then it happened, just like the Lord said. So as far as those sensing timings, I do realize that the time coming up, you mentioned Yom Kippur, tabernacles, there's a time when the Spirit of God is moving. I really sense that that's in connection with this stirring that I was talking about over Washington, D.C. One of the things I wanted to mention, Eric, is that in this stirring, that it was the angels. I wanted to focus on the angels for a moment. Angels are very powerful beings. And I have seen angels for probably over 40 years. And, you know, occasionally here and there in the beginning, and then more as the Lord developed a gift within me. And I have seen angels do remarkable things. They are very powerful in spiritual warfare. And that spiritual warfare is counteracting a lot of the influence of demonic spirits. So what I'm saying is that in one of the prior visits that the Lord took me several months back to Washington, D.C., is that he showed to me that there was strife and division. There were some things that were happening in the administration, and that as this tearing, as this exposing would come to pass, that he had commissioned the angels to be there and to take advantage of it. That to me was very interesting. Take advantage of it, widen the gaps, because they're attacking the spirits behind it. And so I just wanted to encourage people. The angels of God are there. I'm going to tell you something, Eric. Last night as I was going to sleep, I saw you and your wife, Suzanne, right? I saw in the spirit, I saw an angel over her in the apartment, and I saw an angel over you in the studio. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, tell them that I have protected them and that I have given them a supernatural voice in America, and that the angels will take care of them, and the angels are working behind the scene to promote that voice. You see, we say it's the Holy Spirit, Eric, and it is, but the Holy Spirit uses angels to accomplish so many things.
It's hard for me not to be overwhelmed by that. Thanks for sharing that. I, that's, let me switch the channel because before you go, I don't want to forget. You have shared a couple of times something that I think people need to hear. Often, there are many people, I think, maybe they were introduced to me through my Bonhoeffer book, and they were mortified when I got political, as though it was some kind of a departure from my previous stance, as though I had made an idol of politics or the president over Jesus, which, of course, is sickening for me even to consider. It's ridiculous. But they don't seem to understand that Jesus is political in the sense that if there is the slave trade going on and he raises up a William Wilberforce against it, Wilberforce is a politician. It's not about politics. It's about justice. And sometimes politics and government are involved in that process. You, when you heard from God initially and he wanted you to speak about some of these things that people would think of as political, you didn't want to, but God made it clear that he wanted you to do that. Can you share that? We've just got a couple of minutes left, but I think people need to understand that you struggled with that just as I struggled. And of course, I'm not doing anything like you're doing, but please, if you would.
Oh, gladly. I did. I had this approach and being, because so many years in pastoral ministry where you just kind of preach to everybody. And you don't make waves and you stay out of politics and things in the church that can become very divisive. And when the Lord showed me the vision in April of 2016, an angel appeared to me and he spoke to me and he said that the dogs of hell have been released against the one with the hand of the Lord on him. And he showed me the face of Donald Trump, then candidate. I knew that was God's man. And he said that the hand of the Lord was on him. He was anointed. Since then, this last year, within the last few months, about last 6 months, the Lord has taken me not only to Washington, D.C. and looked at pseudo-President Biden, but also he took me to Florida one time and he showed me Donald Trump again. And the purpose of this was that to see in the spirit the presence of anointing upon the people. There was an absence of anointing for presidency on Biden. There was a strong anointing for presidency on Donald Trump. And so I know it's still there and God is still working, but it was very difficult for me. And so when the Lord gave me that vision, I didn't want to talk about it. I shared it with my wife and I wrestled with it all night, about 2 days actually. And the Lord spoke to me and because I was saying, should I put this on a video? Should I tell people what happened? I don't want to do it, Lord. And he basically just said, why? And I said, it's because my conviction. And I laid all these convictions out to him. And he said, but what if I change your conviction? I said, okay, Lord, I will obey. And then he told me, he said, I've called you in an area of being a prophet that you will never attain unless you do this and break through in this area. So I did. I made it public. I shared the video. We put it up and it hit about 350,000 views because people wanted to know what the Lord was saying. That broke through for me.
It's amazing stuff. Look, there's a price to be paid. We know my hero Bonhoeffer. Many people at the time couldn't understand what he was doing and he lost friends and people didn't understand him. And I think that that's part of what it is to walk with God for everybody, not just for big shots like Bonhoeffer, but that if you follow the Lord, there comes a time when you may lose friends, you may lose parishioners if you're a pastor, but you have to really say, is God saying this or not? And if God's saying this, do you really have a choice? Of course you don't. You have to do what God calls you to do. He's the one that determines our futures. And all we can do is obey him to the best of our ability. So your struggle in that, I just thought it's important to share that you didn't normally do this. There are people who they're always political. You were not, I was not, but there's a time when you feel like, I don't really have a choice. I have to say what I think is right because we're living in strange times. And let's be honest, we just got seconds left here, but we're living in unprecedented times. So to say that there's a revival coming, that there's hope for America, if God is saying that, I want to hear it. And you have been saying that.
Yes. And so It's a struggle, but like you said, we obey the Lord, and the Lord knows what's in front of us.
And that's the name of that tune, as Beretta used to say. I love talking to you, Mike Thompson. Thank you for coming on here. Thank you for your kind words for me and Suzanne. What a thing to hear. Really, really humbling. We'll talk to you again soon. God bless you.
Bless you, Eric.
Hey, folks, do you wish you remembered names better and thought more clearly? Hey, improve your memory with Vivalore Memory Support. Vivalore's founder actually prayed that God would show her the solution to memory loss when her mother had dementia. She had divine encounters, and her faith and her background as a pharmacist led Susan Gibson to create Vivalore Memory Support. Vivalore is a premium quality all-natural supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplement. Wow. It's won many awards. It has 3 books independently written about it. Visit Vivalore.com for testimonials about the life-changing improvements people have experienced. Vivalore is for those with normal memory, mild, or severe memory loss. Don't wait until your memory slips. The pathology starts 20 years before your first memory loss symptom. Wow. Vivalore is V-I-V-O-L-O-R. Go to Vivalore.com, buy 3, and get 40% off with code 340. That's 40% off with code 340. The makers pray that God's glory rests on every pill. Vivalore.com, V-I-V-O-L-O-R. LOR.com.
On the first part of the journey, I was looking.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. I get to talk to Ruth Graham. Some of you probably know her as the middle daughter of Billy Graham. I just know her as Ruth Graham and as the author of many books. The new one is called Transforming Loneliness, Deepening Our Relationships with God and Others When We Feel Alone. Ruth Graham, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Eric. Thank you for having me.
It's great to see you. It's been a while. I've got to ask you, why a book on loneliness, other than the fact that most of us at one period or another go through loneliness and maybe we need some books about it, especially from a Christian point of view. What are we supposed to do?
Well, I've lived most of my adult life alone. And certainly the pandemic has brought loneliness to the forefront. But there are 47% of Americans that say they're lonely. 57% say that they have no one they can really confide in. And that's a terrible place to be. But the thing that surprised me as I wrote this book was that Generation Z is the loneliest generation. I would have thought it would have been the older generation, but actually the greatest generation is the least lonely until they hit a point where they lose their health or their spouse. But I asked him, I said, Walker, I said, are you all lonely? He said, we are very lonely. He said, it's scary. From loneliness. So what do we do about it? You know, how do we handle it? Because so many are lonely and it is an epidemic. So I thought, well, I'll delve into this and see what God has to say, see what we can come up with.
Well, it's interesting. First of all, when you say Generation Z, I'm not sure what that means anymore. What age are we talking about?
1995 to 2015.
Okay.
So that's the 25-year-olds, 20-somethings and on.
Okay. And why do you think, Ruth, they think of themselves as lonely? Because you're right. It seems counterintuitive for any young person to be lonely. That's when you're in school. That's when you're doing all kinds of things. Why do you suppose they think of themselves as lonely?
Well, they are so connected with technology digitally, but they have no real heart connections. And that's the problem. My grandson will tell you, you know, we have lots of connections, but no real relationships. And I think that's the thing that's missing is relationship.
I think it needs to be said over and over, but this is a good place to start. There's something inherently one-dimensional or at least shallow about social media. You're not really communicating with much depth, and you've just said it. The connection, it's really a tenuous connection. It's tremendously superficial. It's almost designed to be superficial.
But I've never really thought about how if you get a lot of that, eventually it would be almost painful because you'd be even longing for some real connection more than somebody who's not getting any of that kind of connection.
Well, and Verizon found out through the pandemic that they had more phone calls than even on Mother's Day because people wanted to hear a voice. Seeing a text wasn't enough. They needed to hear a voice. They needed to hear the tone in the voice. And so people began calling people, not just texting.
Isn't this fascinating? Because what we're really talking about is humanity, right? What is it about a voice that's different from a text? I say this to people who text me. I'm not much for talking on the phone, but there is something about texting that's frustrating for me because I feel like there's no nuance. I mean, with people wearing masks, it makes it infinitely worse. But nuance of communicating with your face, with how you inflect your voice and that kind of thing is completely gone. It's completely flattened out. You don't get that from texting. So, I mean, it's an interesting thing that you're saying that people have begun to resort to telephone calls. That's kind of good news, I think.
It is good news. And during the pandemic, it was also interesting to me that the earth quieted down, that the seismic measurements measured that the earth had quieted down because we weren't buzzing around so much.
Are you kidding? I've never heard that. Wow. That's bizarre. Well, so you say you've spent most of your adult life alone. So you've been married, you have kids, but most of your life you've been alone.
Yes, I've been divorced, and so I've been alone. I do have my children and grandchildren nearby, but I am alone and have been alone for a long time. And I found that, you know, I do get lonely. I have to admit that I do get lonely, but loneliness, if it's chronic, can become dangerous because it raises our cortisol levels, our hormone stress hormone. It raises the inflammation in our body. It also attacks the frontal cortex lobe of our brain, which affects our emotional thinking and the way we respond to people. So it really, we can't leave it unchecked. But loneliness is different from solitude. Solitude is something that we enjoy to recalibrate. We have to think our thoughts and have some time alone. But it's also different from isolation. And isolation can be dangerous. The Bible says that the man who isolates himself is not wise. And in our culture, we think that isolation is the worst form of punishment when we put someone in solitary confinement. So we have to, decipher between those. But loneliness can be transformed. And that's what's very positive. God can transform it into his purposes so that we deepen our relationship with him and with others and have more satisfying relationships with him and with others.
It's interesting because I think it's obvious, you know, in this conversation that the Lord created us to be with other people, maybe not constantly, but there is something undeniable. We're not machines. For some reason, we long for fellowship with other people. And then, of course, you can get too much of it and you want some solitude to recalibrate, as you put it, and to think. But it's interesting that God made us for that. And when we don't get that, something happens. I'm not sure what happens, but clearly that's when people feel lonely. It's a pang. But you're saying in the book Transforming Loneliness that because God is a person, he's not an energy force, we can have fellowship with him when we're otherwise alone. Talk about that.
Well, you're so right that God made us for community. And he said, it is not good for man to be alone. I mean, he said that right in Genesis, right up front. And he himself is in community with the triune God, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's in community, and he made us for community. And it's important for us to attach ourselves to some sort of community that feeds our spirit. And for me, that's church. That's me, home group, and meeting with people that I can fellowship with on a deeper level.
Well, it's interesting because I think that, you know, if you really know the Lord, you're never alone. But there are a lot of people that they might say, I'm a Christian, but they don't have that kind of relationship, or maybe it feels awkward to them. What do you say to those folks?
Develop it. you know, work on developing it, because he is right there. He knows, the scripture says he makes a home for the lonely. He knows how we feel. David talked about feeling like a pelican in the wilderness. David understood what loneliness was. God understands, and certainly no one was more alone than Jesus on the cross. So they know what loneliness is, and we can go to God and tell him how we need to express our loneliness to him, and he will fill us with his presence. And I'm not saying this happens overnight. I'm not saying it's magic by any matter of means. But as we develop our relationship, and we develop it by being in the Word of God and by praying, being with him, it's just like a friendship you would have with anybody else. You want to spend time with them. You want to do what they like to do. You want to talk with them. You want to hear what they have to say. God is the same way, because he is a person.
It's something that I think a lot of Christians know intellectually, but to live it out, to develop that relationship. I mean, I think it's fair to say that some people are just naturally better at it than others. Some people talk routinely about hearing from God, and it seems very natural to them. Other people hear silence, and they think, why can't I hear from God in the way that somebody else does? Have you experienced that dynamic in your life?
Yes, I have. I've cried out to God and felt like it just echoed, that there was, you know, the doors of heaven were locked from the inside. And I wondered why. I felt like God was absent. And it was a very difficult time in my life. But I didn't give up. I continued to pursue God. And in that process, I was strengthened. And that experience strengthened me. He doesn't withdraw to abandon us. And I don't know that he does withdraw, because he's always with us. I will never leave you or forsake you. And that is a promise from God. But we do have to walk with him and pursue that relationship.
We're going to go to a break. Folks, I'm talking to Ruth Graham. The book is Transforming Loneliness, Deepening Our Relationships with God and Others When We Feel Alone. Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the 3-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a 3-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after, if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the 3-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works. Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Ruth Graham. The book is Transforming Loneliness, Deepening Our Relationships with God and Others When We Feel Alone. Ruth, it is an amazing thing. You said that 47% of people polled said that they were lonely. That's an astonishing amount.
But I'm not really sure that that's accurate. I think it's higher than that, because people are ashamed to tell people they're lonely. And there's some sort of stigma that they feel to that. So I'm not sure that that's accurate. I think it's probably higher than that, which is really sad.
Well, look, there's no question that the simple answer to this is to forge a relationship with the Lord, and you're never alone. If you're alone, you're alone with the Lord, and you can talk to him, and that's a beautiful thing. But part of the epidemic of loneliness has to do, I think, with what's happened to the culture. Social media is only the sort of most recent iteration of a trend where people have had the convenience more and more to avoid having to mix with other people. You can have everything right there. You can have your TV and your computer. And And in a way, it's a blessing until it becomes sad. And I just feel like that we've built a world where it's just you don't have as much community happening. I mean, the church, of course, is one place, but there used to be a lot of that in American life. And we have much less of that.
We do. And that's a shame and it's sad. But we can build our own community. You know, we don't have to just let the culture, decide for us what we're going to do. We can build our community. We can join a church. We can join a book club. We can join any sort of group to be connected with other people. But that's the choice that we make. And I often use my mother as an illustration. Most people would not have thought that my mother was lonely, but my mother was lonely. She was a woman who was on the public stage, and she couldn't go to anybody and share her heart because it might be on the front page the next day. So she was very alone, and she made choices. She made choice that Christ would be her center, that Christ would be her purpose, that Christ would be her confidant. And Mother gave her life to Christ, and he transformed her loneliness. And as I travel around the country, even now, I run into people who were in her Sunday school class in the 70s, and they tell me what an impact she had on their life. She was allowed the Lord to transform her loneliness into touching other people's lives, and we can do the same thing.
It's an amazing thing. You grew up in an extraordinary family, but I imagine growing up in that family, it's just a family for good and for ill, just like most families are. And I think a lot of people would think, oh, my goodness, if I could be the child of Billy Graham, what a magical existence. You have talked about this to me, and you've talked about this publicly, that it wasn't a magical existence. It had a downside.
Well, we're dysfunctional, just like everybody else. But when you have a father who travels that much, you're going to find some dysfunction in the family. And certainly there was dysfunction in my life and in the family life. But, God was faithful to us. And I'm not going to be critical of my mother or my father. They were unique people for a unique time, for a unique purpose. And I know people set them up as examples. They are not examples. They are exceptions. And I think that Mother and Daddy were so faithful to God and were such wonderful examples to us as children. And I'm very grateful for the family that I did have, as dysfunctional as it was.
It's funny, though, isn't it? When you become a parent, you have a lot more grace for your own parents because you realize that nobody gets this right. Whoever is a parent is a parent for the first time. You just do your best, and then you kind of repent and, acknowledge your faults. But now it's too late because the kids are grown up. I mean, it's an amazing thing that every generation has to go through that. And I'm sure that, as in some ways magical and extraordinary as your parents were, they were just people doing the best they could. And then you have to pick up the pieces in your own life, and then you have to make sure you don't pass on those problems as you raise your kids. And so it's not easy, is it?
It's not easy. Being a parent is a very difficult job, and it's a full-time job. And even I found out, now my children are grown, that it's even harder now to parent grown children. But I am just grateful for the example that Mother and Daddy gave me. But my children have been such a blessing to me, and they have been with me through the ups and the downs. And they live in my neighborhood. My sons-in-law wanted to live near me, and I thought, what a blessing that is, that my sons-in-law would choose to live next to their mother-in-law. So we have a wonderful time. And during the pandemic, we had Sunday lunch every Sunday. So, that cured my loneliness.
That is so wonderful. So you live alone, as you say, but you have family around you, which seems pretty wonderful. It makes it a lot easier if they're not, a plane ride away. What do you do when you're alone? Do you read much? What books do you read? I'm always curious what people read or whether they read, if they have a place to do that in their lives.
I read. I love mysteries, good whodunits. But right now I'm reading Philip Yancey's new book, his life story, When the Light Fell. And very excited to read that and read your books. So it's Mother was a good example of that. She always on her side table. She had a bestseller. She had her Bible. She had a book about China, and she had a devotional book. And someone said, well, why do you have all those books? Why don't you want to finish one before you start another? And she said, no, you never finish all the pickles before you open the olive jar. So oh she gosh. Always had something.
Well, I'm afraid we're out of time. Ruth Graham, it just makes me happy to see you. God bless you. Congratulations. Folks, the book is Transforming Loneliness, Deepening Our Relationships with God and Others When We Feel Alone. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Everything's waiting for you.
You can go your own way. Have I mentioned the stolen election lately? You know, my attitude is, hey, let's let bygones be bygones. You know, anybody can rob the American people of their voice. What's the big deal? Hey, let's let it go. Unless I'm being sarcastic. I'm talking right now to Colonel Doug Mastriano, also state senator, Pennsylvania. My friend, Doug Mastriano, where are we in the madness of the 2020 election? You've been a hero. You've refused to stop looking into this because we happen to think it's important to know whom the American people chose to lead them. Where are we right now? You've been in the forefront.
We're, 11 months now on from November election. And, you know, we held a hearing in Gettysburg on the 25th of November. We're no closer now to a resolution on this whole issue than we were back then. I've been undercut by the Senate leadership. They stripped me of my committee chair because I was pressing ahead with subpoenas. And I was going to have a vote to issue subpoenas to several counties to get to the bottom of this here. And it's a great catastrophe.
They stripped you of the chairmanship of your committee. Now, why would they do a thing like that?
Well, you know, I was moving ahead as a committee chair. I sent letters to three counties to begin an audit, a forensic investigation to get to the bottom of what the heck happened. You know, if there's nothing to hide, open up the books. Let's get to the bottom of this. That's why you keep the ballots for 22 months so you can do this. But Senate leadership, Senator Jay Corman, wasn't keen on, I think, moving ahead with a full forensic investigation. And so not only was I stripped of my committee chair, I had a voting session on my committee arranged on the 6th of August. It was canceled behind my back by him. I was locked out of committee voting rooms in Harrisburg. I mean, this whole thing is ridiculous. I don't know what the issue is. You know, the people of Pennsylvania and I want a forensic investigation to figure out what the heck happened here, but I'm being undercut by my own party.
What is the name of the man you just mentioned, and what is his position?
He's a president pro tem of the Senate, Senator Jake Corman, a Republican.
And, Senator Jake Corman?
Yes.
Okay, so he is a Republican. I think the technical term is rhino. And he doesn't seem to like the idea of trying to find out what the voters in Pennsylvania did. Now, why, if you don't mind my asking, why would it be that State Senator Jake Corman in Pennsylvania would be against this? It doesn't make sense. Why would he be against this?
You know, I can only speculate, but he's been in office for 22 years. He took over his dad's seat of 21 years, so 43 years of a Corman in the state Senate, same district, really hasn't faced opposition. And what I see, Eric, is just status quo. Don't do anything risky that could overturn everyone's comfort level. You know, there's some opposition within my own caucus, which is fine. There's going to be, because, you know, this is something that I guess not all the people are comfortable with, but, you know, I am. But the bottom line is, so when I was pressing ahead, when I sent the letters to the counties, he told me, you know, he said, I can't stop you, but I urge you not to. I sent the letters to the counties announcing that I had the intention of doing an audit, and then I gave them 3 weeks to comply, Philadelphia County, York County, Tioga County. Time came and went. It was time to do subpoenas. And then, of course, when I had a vote lined up, he undercut me. And so I worked with him and his staff for several weeks trying to get, okay, what's your concern? What's the hang up? Couldn't come to any resolution. So I went public on, you know, so people are asking me, Doug, where are the subpoenas? I'm like, ask Senator Corman.
So Senator Jake Corman has been in power for 22 years. Before him, his father held the same seat. This doesn't sound good, Senator Doug Mastriano. This sounds like the antithesis of what the founders tried to set up in this country, where people are elected by their superiors. The government is we the people. We elect people like you, like Senator Jake Corman, to represent us, not to have a sinecure, not to sit there for decades the way Biden has done. How else am I supposed to interpret this? Let's ask another question. Why are you convinced that it's worth pursuing what you've been trying to pursue and what has been obstructed by folks like Senator Jake Corman? Why are you convinced it's worth the trouble?
Well, I've seen some things, obviously, but going back to November 3rd, more importantly, I've heard from a quarter million people, Eric. I represent about a quarter million people. I've heard from a quarter million people from across Pennsylvania with viable claims, assertions, accusations of fraud or nefarious things going on at a polling station. And they are all telling me, do something, Senator Mastriano. You work for us, do something. And so as one of the most junior senators in the building, of course, I put together the hearing that Jake had no part in. He didn't even attend it. And for 11 months, I've been championing this here. And we were on a cusp of beginning this entire audit. And of course, undercut by him for political reasons. Now he's had a conversion moment. He's on radio stations and TV saying that he's for it. We'll see. I'm in Missouri mode right now. Show me. But I was told by him and his staff, if I persist in this, not only would they strip me of my committee, but also take away my Harrisburg staff, which he did. This is the kind of stuff that I think my relatives in Sicily fled that country for, the corruption, the thug tactics, and we're seeing it here, right here in Pennsylvania. So if you thought it was hard to get an audit done in Arizona, it's even harder in Pennsylvania, obviously, when my own party's undercutting our process.
We're not suggesting Senator Jake Corman is corrupt. We're actually stating it. There's a difference. If he is not what I fear he is, he needs to do something, and I'll go over his head to the people of Pennsylvania or to people anywhere in the country to write to him, Senator Jake Corman, because, ladies and gentlemen, the nation is at stake. Your children's future, your grandchildren's future, we don't get another crack at this. If we look away when history delivers up to us a moment such as we're living through right now, it's on us. It is on us. So I don't know anything about Jake Corman, but what you've said to me, anyone who is not interested in at least letting brave folks like you do their job, I find that very disturbing. And we need to understand why somebody like Jake Corman in Pennsylvania would not be willing to take the trouble to want to know what did the people in Pennsylvania actually vote. It's pretty basic. We're being told not to talk about this. You haven't been on mainstream news, have you, talking about this?
No, not on mainstream news, no.
Have you been on Fox or OAN or Newsmax? Are they talking to you?
Yeah. All those stations, almost weekly with them laying out what's going on. But I decided, Eric, to make this public because I've been dealing with this behind the scenes for many months with Senator Corman. And the reason why I went public, because it was clearly he was intent on obstructing any progress on a real full forensic
and
audit.
And it's got nothing to do with you or with him. This is America, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
This is America, the America of George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and your children. We'll be right back.
Okay. So no one's saying.
Folks, just want to remind you again, just this week only, Nutramedics.com, 35% off if you use our code ERIC, 35% off. That's a huge discount, Nutramedics.com, but it's this week only. Senator Doug Mastriano, you've been heroic, but it's a sad day when just doing the right thing makes you heroic and rare. You've refused to shut up. You've refused to go along, to get along. If anybody's seen the film Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, what a great film. You realize we've always had this tension in our country. There are people that they've got power. They forgot why they're there. We the people need to remind them. So if you live in Pennsylvania or if you're any kind of an American and you decide to look away, ladies and gentlemen, it's on you. This is your moment to contact people like Senator Jake Corman in Pennsylvania or anyone else, but he is the one we're talking about right now. Why would someone obstruct this? I cannot fathom it. Doug Mastriano, what do you suggest?
I suggest career politician, somebody who's very comfortable, doesn't want to upset the apple cart. You know, but this is not about upsetting anyone's apple cart or disrupting anyone's, you know, harmony. This is about serving the people of this country. You know, your book, A Republic, If You Can Keep It, this really is telling. It's very timely, that book, because we've lost connection with virtue in our country. And as a result of this, we have career politicians who want to steer the ship in the wrong direction. This country is not in disarray just because of Democrat Party, but because of lackluster Republicans. So it's time for the people in this country once again to be involved, to be engaged, and let your voices be heard, always respectfully, of course, when you engage with Senator Cornyn, what have you, but firmly tell them we need to get this done. This is not about a squabble between Mastriano or Cornyn. It's about our very nation. Pennsylvania deserves better. This is where it began in 1776, where the light of liberty was lit, and a new birth of freedom in 1863. And of course, 2001, Flight 93 out in Somerset County, when Todd Beamer said, let's roll, to try to take that plane back. And so that this is happening in Pennsylvania, I think, just gives you a bellwether of where we are in this country writ large. We need to stand up and get the job done. We want transparency. It's not about overturning anything. It's about finding the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I want the truth, and the people demand that as well.
I think that, you know, it's always tempting to be cynical. There are many people that have worldly wisdom. They're cynical. The scripture tells us that, you know, unless you become as a child, you cannot see the kingdom of God. We have to understand that to be innocent, to be guileless, to be hopeful, that's what God is hoping we will do. It doesn't mean to be a Pollyanna. It doesn't mean to be naive. But you're trying to find the truth. There's some people, they shrug. What is truth? I think we've heard, you know, when Herod said, what is truth? It's a cynical shrug. Who's to say? Well, folks, I think America wouldn't be America if we didn't have that innocent view that there is such a thing as truth. There is such a thing as the voice of the people. But if we are not vigilant, it all goes away. It's a republic if you can keep it. That was said, of course, in Philadelphia by Benjamin Franklin. If you can keep it. Can you keep it? Are we keeping it? We all have a job to do. So, Senator Doug Mastriano, you're doing your part. What can my viewers and listeners do? We have 30 seconds. What can they do? Repeat it if you would.
Yeah, so first and foremost, pray. We need to pray for wisdom. We need God's intervention here. We need God to turn the tables, as we see in Esther with of course, you know, with Haman. On the second part here, stay engaged, stay involved. Let Senator Cornyn know what you think about this here. And more importantly, at the local and state level in your own states, whether you're Pennsylvanians or not, if you can't find somebody to get behind that reflects your values, maybe it's time that you saddle up and actually run for office yourself.
Wow. What an idea. I'm really glad that you ran for office, Senator Doug Mastriano. I thank God for you. We're out of time, but folks, do your country a favor and contact Senator Jake Cornyn. Let him know you're interested in the facts and the truth. Doug Mastriano, thank you and God bless you.
Thank you, Eric. God bless you, too.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.